You used to just get up. Now it's a whole production. Let's change that. Get to Joint Relief Institute for fast, immediate pain relief. Covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. I will tell you, I've had so many guests on over the years, over the, I don't know, just about 29 years, I think it is, on WGN. One of my favorite people right here, Louise Besgal, who's a volunteer. She says, I'm just a volunteer. No, she's not just a volunteer, with an organization called the Buddy Foundation. And I will tell you what, you know, we have people on from the major area shelters all the time. But it is nice and I think incredibly important, not just being nice, to also talk about the smaller shelters, because Chicago area as a community, including the suburbs, I think of it as like a wheel. And you have all these spokes of the wheel. In the center is, in my view, Chicago Animal Care and Control. But one of those many, many spokes among the many, many shelters and rescues is the Buddy Foundation. And happy birthday. You are about to celebrate your 31st birthday?
That's correct. Absolutely. We've been working at this really hard.
So tell me about what you've been working at.
Well, we rescue homeless and abused and abandoned dogs and cats. We started again 31 years ago. Before we had a shelter, we were all foster-based. And thanks to a lot of hard work and luck and community support, we were able to build a shelter in 2008, which again opens up a world of opportunity to rescue that many more animals.
Which, in fact, the Buddy Foundation does. So tell me, first off, where the shelter is and where you get these animals from. Are they from the community or are they from other facilities?
You know, we kind of mix it up. We do take some owner turn-ins, and we do have an affiliation with the local police department in Arlington Heights where we're located, so sometimes we hear from them. But we do pull from out-of-state and local open admission shelters and things like that. So we try to make ourselves available to where we're needed the most.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you are needed the most. So what? Yeah, but I mean, because what's happening not only in Chicago and the Chicago area, but all over the country, for a variety of reasons right now, and you'll tell me if you have found this to be the case as well, there are maybe more animals being relinquished than in at least recent memory, certainly going back to...
You couldn't be more right, Steve. You know, one of the things I do a variety of things, is I am on the switchboard twice a week, and I can absolutely tell you that 80 to 85% of the calls are people calling to relinquish their animals. And it's really sad, personally, for us and I know for others, because we are not an open admission shelter, sometimes we have to say no, and it's really difficult. We do try our best, though, to provide other avenues for them, to offer them some kind of support, either with food or some kind of vet care or training or just assistance to see if there's something we can do so that they don't have to give the animals up. So, you know, it is a huge struggle, more so than I can ever remember in recent history.
Why do people, when you say why, what is their typical explanation?
You know, there's a variety. Some of them, what I'm sure you've heard, you know, they're moving, they can't take their pets with them. Some of it is financial reasons. Again, recent years, too, very recently, it's because of people being deported and at the drop of a hat. They have to just find a place for their animals, and it's really difficult to help them out. And, yeah, but we do our best to do what we can to help.
So even in the Chicago's northwest suburbs, you're talking about people who I assume believe they may one day be deported or are in the process and have to give up their animals?
I've talked to three people in the past month and a half that are saying, we are being deported and we have to leave now.
Wow.
We have a very large Hispanic population in our area, and it's, it is difficult to hear that happening.
You know, that is so sad on so many different levels that I don't even want to go into. But certainly, but certainly the animals have done nothing wrong, which brings up another topic, because in general, people think sometimes that that dog or cat in an animal shelter is damaged goods, and they typically are not, are they?
No, they're typically not. And some of it is behavioral issues and things like that, but typically they're not. They're perfectly wonderful animals that are just looking for help and rely on humans, because that's their only hope, you know?
Yeah, and the Buddy Foundation has been doing a very good job of getting those animals into homes. Do you have any idea what those numbers have been like over the past year or so?
No, I don't. You know, unfortunately, I'm not privy to every single thing like that, but I do know that, again, as far as cats versus dogs, I would say it's three times as many cats versus dogs. We currently have almost 150 cats and kittens between the shelter and foster care all looking for homes right now.
So you have more you have. I just want to be clear. Yeah. You have more cats than dogs seeking homes.
And, and we have about 35 dogs right now looking for homes right now.
So what's interesting about that to me is that nationally, and this is the case elsewhere in the Chicago area as well, cats are flying out of the shelter. They're being adopted. Maybe not flying out of the shelter. Cats don't fly, but they are being adopted. Dogs, it's more challenging. Is that the case at the Buddy Foundation, or are cats having?
I just think for us, because our as far as the size of our shelter, the area for cats versus dog is identical, but the cats take up less space. You know, so you can, and a lot of our cats are community cats. They're not all in individual, you know, kennels and things like that. So we can put, like, say, 30 cats in one large size room. We try to match up personalities so they all get together. So that enables us to take in more cats, but then we do adopt out more cats also.
Okay. That's what I was getting at, because it seems to be a national trend that cats are getting adopted, but dogs not so much, which is the reverse of how it was, say, a decade ago. You are about to have a big celebration. I want to talk about that big celebration, the Buddy Birthday Bash, when we come back. No doubt leading us in singing Happy Birthday will be the person on the phone right now, Louise Basquel on WGN. It's the Buddy Foundation. You know, there are so many shelters and rescues in Chicago and in the Chicago metro area who I feel, Louise, don't get attention from people like me, you know, really, because we tend to talk to the larger facilities, the larger shelters, or maybe Chicago Animal Care and Control, and they don't get enough attention. I would suggest people in Chicago don't even know necessarily that the municipal shelter is even there as a place to adopt from. So it has to be at times challenging to be a smaller facility in this bigger pond where you have larger voices. But, you know, if a dog gets adopted out into a family from the Buddy Foundation, that is just as important as a dog being adopted out from Paw Chicago or Anti-Cruelty, I think.
I agree completely, you know, and besides Buddy, we're all trying to keep the animal community. I'm aware of so many other that aren't even shelters, the smaller rescues that are all foster-based, and they struggle significantly to do their hard work and things too, and they deserve to get some kind of accolades and attention, because all it does is it helps those animals to find homes also.
That's absolutely true. Now, are there programs you have at the Buddy Foundation to support having those animals find homes, such as the availability to foster or the availability to do what ultimately you do, and that is to volunteer?
We all have those things. You know, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. One of the things that we're most proud of is I think Buddy is one of the very few shelters that is 100% volunteer-based. We have no paid staff, which is amazing when you're talking about a shelter. We do value all the monies that we do raise, and we try our best, and I think we're pretty successful, that every penny that we earn goes directly towards maintaining the shelter and the care of our animals. But yes, we do volunteer, and I understand that it's Volunteer Appreciation Month, too. I just recently heard that. And we couldn't thank those people that work so hard. You know, the ones that walk the dogs, no matter the rain, sleet, or snow. Everybody that comes in on the holidays and gives up their family time to make sure that those animals are well taken care of. So it's so critical and important to all of them.
Well, that's the other thing about an animal shelter. So there is, you want to celebrate the holidays, and even on Christmas, the dogs don't care. They still need to be fed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one of those. So I was talking to a city official in Chicago about this, and I said, and that person was with the, I could tell you, I suppose, the Department of Children and Family Services. And I said, working at Animal Care and Control is actually more difficult because you get, I think, Christmas off. And she said, well, of course I get Christmas off. Probably you get New Year's Day off. Yeah, 4th of July. Yeah. Well, there is no day off. Those animals still need to be cared for and need to be fed every single day of the year. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday. And to be all volunteer run and staffed, Louise, that is incredible. I don't know of many other shelters like that in America.
Yeah, I don't know of any locally here that don't have some kind of paid staff. Yeah,
and that means all those
dollars raised.
Yeah, and that right, all those dollars are going to the animals. Speaking of which, tell me about the big birthday bash that's happening. And I understand you're going to lead everyone in a chorus of singing "Happy Birthday" for the foundation's 31st birthday.
Well, I would gladly do that, but I think I would frighten everybody away.
So tell me.
Our buddy birthday bash is going to be Thursday evening, May 28th. It's at Chandler's Chop House, which is in Schaumburg. It's a beautiful facility on a golf course. And we have an amazing MC this year. He is the amazing, wonderful, incredible Mr. Steve Dale from WTN Radio.
Yes, well, that's overstating it, but despite the fact
that I'm going to be there,
I hope folks come again.
Me
that
too.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. That is May 26th.
May 28th.
That's what I said. May 28th at Chandler's Chop House. May 28th, to be clear.
Yep.
That is 401 North Roselle Road. There's going to be dancing and raffle prizes and all those things you typically have at benefits. But this, I imagine, Louise, is your, this is the big one. This is the fundraiser that matters.
Yes, our biggest fundraiser of the year is our Buddy Birthday Bash.
And how much is the Buddy Birthday Bash?
It's $70 per person and includes a family-style dinner. And just a lot of fun and everything. Lots of warm people getting together and sharing mutual interest.
And moreover, this is an opportunity to really help the shelter, you know.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you happen to have a glass of wine or something during dinner at a restaurant like this with the quality of the Chandler's Chop House on Roselle Road, that would cost you, it's in Schaumburg, and that would probably cost you about the same thing anyway. So to do this and to support this animal shelter, which has really no other significant way of support, it's all volunteer run. It's a no-kill facility. It's in Arlington Heights. This would be a good way to do it, I imagine. And I suggest you might agree.
I agree completely. You know, again, I know you said you've been on the radio doing your thing 29 years. I've been volunteering at Buddy Foundation for 25 years this year.
Oh, happy. Well, you should have a happy anniversary song for yourself.
Yeah.
So,
maybe they'll sing to me.
I hope so. You deserve it, not only for all you've done for the Buddy Foundation, but what I happen to know you've done for animals in Chicago for a long time, Louise. You're a local hero yourself, actually. But you know what? I think that anyone who gives their time to volunteer at an animal shelter is just that. And I don't know of an animal shelter anywhere in the country, and certainly not in the Chicago area, that can operate without volunteers. So I also happen to know this will be a celebration not only for what the shelter does, but for all of those that volunteer at the shelter.
Absolutely. Yep. We could not do any of our hard work without our volunteers, without the support of our local community. We're very lucky to where we're at that our community is so helpful. One of the things we do try to do also, we get a lot of donations of food and supplies, and when we have an abundance of it, we try to share that all with our other rescue partners that are not quite so fortunate. So we spread the wealth as much as we can.
Well, I wish that I could give more attention to more facilities that are smallish, mm-hmm. but are just as important to the community as everyone else is. The Buddy Foundation, that's in Arlington Heights, the event, yep. May 28th, that is in Schaumburg at Chandler's Chop House, 401 North Roselle Road. It all begins at 6 p.m. on the 28th. And the website for the Buddy Foundation is what? Do you know?
www.thebuddyfoundation.org.
TheBuddyFoundation.org. Louise Pascal, you know it's always a pleasure for me to talk with you. Thank you.
Well, Steve, I've said you're my hero forever and always.
Well, you have to look somewhere else for better heroes, I think. Thank you, Louise. New report out on this topic, dog bites remain a common and preventable injury among children specifically. New data from the National Institutes of Health underscoring both the frequency of these incidents and gaps in prevention and treatment. An analysis of pediatric emergency department cases found that while most dog bites are not severe, they still represent a significant public health concern. Of an estimated 4.5 million dog bites annually in the U.S., roughly half involve children. And the likelihood of a child being bitten at some point in their life might be as high as 50%. So no wonder fear of dogs in children, incidentally, is also, it's called cynophobia, at an all-time high. The study, which reviewed 158 pediatric dog bite cases over a 30-month period, offers a detailed snapshot of how and why these bites occur and what happens afterward. Young children are most vulnerable. Half the cases involve children under the age of 5. Boys, slightly more likely than girls to be bitten. Ah, those guys, even at a young age, we cause trouble. Incidents peaked in the summer months, especially June and July, when both children and dogs are more active. Perhaps most notably, the majority of bites were inflicted by familiar dogs. More than half involved a family pet, often with an adult present at the time. So I always talk about adult supervision. That is true, but that in of itself is not necessarily going to solve the problem. Nearly half of bites were described as unprovoked, though experts caution what appears to be unprovoked may actually reflect a child's inability to recognize subtle warning signs in a dog's behavior, which is exactly why I authored the book Ask the Dog. The idea is to help children and adults, incidentally, to better understand what dogs are communicating, sometimes in subtle ways. Subtle for us, but very clear to the dogs. Injuries most often involve the face, accounting for nearly 43% of cases, followed by the hands and then the scalp. This pattern reflects the physical reality that young children are closer in height to dogs and less able to react quickly enough to always avoid a bite. The reassuring news? Most injuries were relatively minor, more than 90% classified as superficial. Only 6.3% of cases required surgery in an operating room, and hospital admissions were, in fact, uncommon. And, of course, unknown are the dog bites happening in homes which are never reported or in need of any medical care outside the home, so nobody knows they happen. You can learn more on my website, stevedale.tv. Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, and it is a Chicago tradition, walking in the park with your dog for anti-cruelty, called appropriately bark. And there's a lot of it. Darlene Duggan is the president of Anti-Cruelty. Do you recall how many years? It's got to be over 20 years this has been happening.
Yeah, I believe it's actually 32 years.
Wow. That's over 20.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been doing Bark in the Park, or now just known as Bark, for quite some time.
Yeah, it was up in Lincoln Park, and this year, then it was down near Soldier Field, and this year it's going to be in Lincoln Park at about, what, North Avenue or so?
Exactly. Yep, we're back at Lincoln Park. We were there last year as well, and it was a lovely space for us to sort of enjoy some time with our four-legged furry friends, get out, get some fresh air, see the beautiful city that we live in and we call home, and just have a good day of family fun, supporting Anti-Cruelty and hanging out with our best friends.
And you take a nice walk with the dog to raise money. This is your major fundraiser, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yes, this is a big fundraiser for Anti-Cruelty. We can't do the good work that we do for the community and the animals and people who love them without the help and support of our community. And so Bark in the Park, we hope to raise $150,000 to continue building our mission of a happy and healthy Chicago where pets and people thrive together. All of the programs and services that we do under that mission will be funded by our efforts at Bark.
And all you have to do is take your dog for a walk. That sounds like fun. And by the way, you can take your cat for a walk, too, because I think what you can do is take a picture of your cat, put it on your phone, bring your phone with you, and then walk. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is a fair, and that's an absolutely great idea. I have seen in past years, I have seen some very brave feline friends out there as well who have been put in little strollers and are doing the walk also. I don't think that's a typical thing for a cat to do, but for kitties who are up for some sort of adventure like that, they're absolutely welcome to be there. But Steve, you're right. Maybe it's better to just sort of make a pin or sort of, you know, wear them on your heart while you're doing the walk along Lakeshore Drive there.
And speaking of which, the walk itself is what, about a mile or so?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about a mile. It is a dog-friendly path. So again, we're doing this with our friends as well. So yeah, it's a good time for everyone.
And to be clear, the event is when and where specifically is it? And where can you sign up to do it? And how much money are we talking about?
All good questions. So this year's event is going to be held the morning of May 30th. It's a Saturday morning. The walk officially kicks off at 9 a.m., but we have a whole bunch of other fun things happening. We have a whole festival of animal-related types of things that you can do. So stick around after the walk for all of that fun as well. Tickets this year for Bark are only $10. So it is something that you can bring the whole family to and have a good, solid, you know, entertaining, educational, enriching morning at Bark in the Park. Again, we're going to be at Lincoln Park. And now you're going to challenge me on my geographical awareness here, but I believe we're going to be just south of the zoo, right after the farm in the zoo section of the zoo there. We take up a big area of that land there, or that open park land. So if you come on down that Saturday morning, you're sure to see us there.
South of the farm in the zoo and north of North Avenue. You know, there must be something wrong with the radio or our phone system here, because I must have misheard you. You said $10?
No, Steve, there is nothing wrong with the radio. That is exactly what I said. Tickets to Bark this year are only $10, and we're really hoping that that encourages families to come out, groups of friends, you know, bring your neighbors, bring your colleagues. It's going to be a good time for everyone.
$10? It costs that much to park. It costs more than that to park, I think. So this is incredible. And you know what? I hope to see everyone out there with their social dog. You know, there are some dogs who would not enjoy, and you would not enjoy your dog being with other dogs, but you can still come out. And there are so many events and activities. And if you're thinking, you know what, walking a mile for me is a lot, but then you can just hang around. And there are, as you said, lots of activities for people, booths to investigate, things to do, aside from the walk itself. Can you talk about some of those things to do?
Yeah, absolutely. We will have some vendors out there selling unique, interesting animal-related items. We will have a bunch of different programming from anti-cruelty. We'll have a kids' corner. We will have an agility course. We will have our humane investigators on site to sort of talk about the work that they do for the city day in and day out. We'll have a chance to sign up to volunteer, sign up to be a foster parent. We will also have adoptable dogs on site. So if you're looking to add to the family, that's going to be a great place to go and meet some new friends. There is a ton of stuff to do at the Bark in the Park Festival.
And a lot of those vendors offer free, that's my favorite word, free stuff. And that's a good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is a good thing, too. All right, so I wanted to talk to you about this regarding BARC. There are all of these things that you can do that you and I spoke about. But in addition to that, I can't help but get back to this. It's only $10 for you to show up and have a good time with your dog. And I will tell you, people do have a good time at this event. It's so much fun. Do you have any idea, typically, how many dogs are out there marching along Lakeshore Drive or near Lakeshore Drive in some cases?
Yeah, that's a good question. We usually have about 1,000 participants, and those are two-legged participants. And I would assume the number of dogs that are present would probably be around 500 or 600 or so. So it is one big, gigantic dog party. If you are someone who loves dogs, if your dog is someone who loves dogs, this is the place to be on May 30th.
On May 30th, for more information and to register, $10, anticruelty.org to learn more. And I will tell you, I'm kind of joking about the $10 part because I know this. Anti-cruelty is in itself needed now more than ever before because more animals, Darlene, you know this far better than I do, are being relinquished than in many, many years past. A lot of reasons for that. They're often taken to animal control, who by law must take anyone and everyone, but they're being inundated. So if it wasn't for anti-cruelty having your open door policy, I don't know what Chicago would do, but you still need the resources to do what you're due. So anticruelty.org to learn more, and we're going to learn more about anti-cruelty when we come back on WGN. She is the president of Anti-Cruelty in Chicago. They are at Grand and LaSalle. If you want to check out the dogs and the cats that are available for adoption. One of your favorite programs that I love, Darlene, is you come in, and I forget which day it is, but you'll tell me, where you also get a concert, and you're sharing that concert with cats. Performers come in and actually perform music to your cats. Is that on a regular basis? I think it is.
Yes, that is something that we do on a regular basis. We schedule the dates out. It's different every month, so I would advise everybody to watch our social media channels, look at our website. We'll announce the dates that the live music is coming to Anti-Cruelty ahead of time. But basically, we invite any musician of any variety. We've had cantors in there, we've had flute players, we've had oboe players, we've had guitarists, we have had everything. And all levels of talent are welcome as well. Beginners, experts, professionals, everybody is welcome to share their talent with the animals. It has been proven, scientifically proven, that calming, relaxing music actually helps the animals in a shelter environment. And so we want to do everything we can to make the animals as comfortable and as calm as they possibly can be while they're in our care. And one of the ways that we do that is through music. And it's a wonderful partnership that we have with different volunteers
around the city who come in. And like I said, bring your own instrument. So it's a BYI. We are just, again, thrilled that people are willing to come in and give a concert for our animals. We definitely focus on cats, and we also do it for our small animals and our dogs as well. All animals in a shelter can benefit from that, from this experience.
And it's all based on science, actually. It's fun, and it makes for nice social media when people like myself come in and take out my phone and then post it in social, and people love watching that. But it's more than that. It really does benefit the animals, as does getting out of the shelter. So Anti-Cruelty and many other Chicago area shelters all over the country as well do the best that they can do, but it's still not like home. And it was suggested at one point that the idea of taking a dog out, bringing that dog home for a night or two or three, would not be beneficial for the dog because then the dog returns to the shelter. However, you speak of that word science, and studies have been done to demonstrate, well, that's not really the case. Actually, dogs do benefit by this. And on occasion, people say, you know what? I love that dog. I'm going to keep that dog. So that dog becomes adopted, which makes more available space in the shelter for another animal. And you have such a program. You call it Dog's Night Out?
We call it Dog's Day Out.
Okay, sorry.
that's okay. Although Night Out sounds kind of exciting, too. but yes, you described it perfectly. There is, again, science and research behind no matter how hard we try, no matter how much time and care and attention our staff and our volunteers pay to the animals, nothing beats a home. And so, again, we aim to do as much as care as we possibly can for our dogs while they're with Anti-Cruelty to make them calm and happy and, you know, sort of try to make their experience as best as it can be. I think the phrase is, you know, making lemonade when life gives you lemons type of situation. But Dog's Day Out, basically, anybody can come into the shelter. You do have to be over the age of 18. Anyone can come into the shelter and participate in this program. There's no prior training or prior application involved. And you can take one of our dogs who are available for the program, and you can take them on kind of a field trip around the city to get them out of the shelter, get them walked, get some fresh air, get them socialized, sort of work with them on their manners. We have a list of dog-friendly places in Chicago. We are so lucky, Steve, to live in such a city that has so many dog-friendly options, especially in the downtown area, but also in the neighborhoods as well. And honestly, some people will choose to just take a dog out of the shelter for the afternoon and they go back home with it. And they will just let the dog sort of play in the backyard or sleep on their couch for a couple of hours and get, you know, a taste of what is a little bit of a more normal experience for the dogs. And they come back refreshed. They come back energized. And they come back, you know, ready to find their forever home.
And this costs even less than $10, actually. How can people register for this, which I believe there's no fee for?
Yeah, this costs $0. So there's your favorite word again. This
it is.
Is free to do.
It is.
So people just have to come into the shelter. We are open 7 days a week from 12 until 6 p.m. I would suggest coming earlier around the noon hour so that you can sort of, you know, no pun intended, get the pick of the litter. And you can maximize the time out of the kennel that day for the dog. Our front desk staff and volunteers will help you select a dog that's going to be good for your handling level or good for, you know, your experience level. And there will be a little bit of paperwork to fill out just so that we know who you are and how to get in touch with you and how to help if anything pops up that you might need us for. But then after that, we give you all the supplies that you'll need, a leash, a collar, you know, some poop bags and some treats and a little bit of food for the dog while they're out on their field trip. But then after that, it's up to you. You can take them, you know, again, like I said, anywhere in the city that is dog friendly. You can sort of take them back home with you. You can take them for a ride in the car. I mean, what dog doesn't love to take a ride in the car, stick their head out the window, get some fresh air? You know, you can choose your own adventure at that point.
And you can register at anticruelty.org?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, in the 1 minute we have remaining, I must apologize because I am sure this is the most important thing about the event May 30th, BARC, happening on the southern end of Lincoln Park. And that is the MCs that you are going to have for the event. People need to know this, Darlene.
Yes, yes. We are going to have some local staff or local Chicago celebrities there, including Chicago's very own Steve Dale. So we're very excited about the folks that are going to be joining us.
Well, and far more importantly, I understand Tracy Butler from Channel 7 and Jose Sanders from Channel 7 as well. Jose and I have been doing it for years, many years, and we did this with Roz Varen, who is now retired, lucky Roz. Tracy Butler, I know, is a delightful, delightful person. What's more, she being there will guarantee good weather. And she is an enormous lover of dogs. So again, to learn more about BARC, anticruelty.org, you can register there. She says, I think she's lying to me, $10? It's amazing. That is BARC on May 30th. Darlene Duggan, president of Anti-Cruelty. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Next week, a conversation about heartworm disease. And you're thinking, oh, what's the big deal about that? Well, I'll tell you, heartworm disease can be deadly in dogs. What's more, even when treated, there's damage that's been done to your dog. Your dog will never quite be the same. In some cases, we don't notice the difference. In other cases, we do by the way the dog is acting, just not playing as often or playing for as long because of having heartworm disease. And while heartworm disease in dogs can be treated, the treatment is not inexpensive and it's not easy either. It's kind of a grueling course of treatment that, now, you need to do it if you need to do it. Having said that, heartworm disease is preventable in dogs and in cats. Think about cats. There is no treatment in cats. So we'll talk about all of that next week, bright and early, on WGN.